Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm your host, spiritual mentor, and a sound therapist for you who are ready to reclaim your power, to remember your gifts, not the power over somebody, but your own power, your own juice. And in this program, I bring guests and people that bring their gifts to the world, that shine to the world, to encourage. Because this is to encourage our spiritual growth, and everything that happens in this physical realm, everything that we experience has a spiritual cause and reasoning. So with this in mind and in heart, the people that come here are coming here to share gifts and their stories and the way that they arrive to the place that they are in today, so they can share this with us. So before we dive in, I just want to encourage everyone to take a deep breath, to remember your center, to remember those things that you are here to do, that we are here to do. Hareni mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat aseh shel ve'ahavta lerecha kamocha. I hereby accept on myself the due commandment or the utterance of love your neighbor, your friend, your gardener, in the same way as you love yourself. And the focus is on ourselves first. And today I am excited and happy to host Debbie Anderson. She's one of the leading experts in North America on the use of oracle cards. She has four acclaimed, gorgeously illustrated vibrational energy decks, and they're for adults and children. And this is something interesting, because usually it's just a deck, and I didn't see many times people are making distinguishes between adults and children. But Debbie is a clairvoyant. She's born in England, and she's experienced some spirit communication. And so I'll ask Debbie to talk about this more, because you probably could do a better job than I can.
So, thank you, Alan.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm good, healthy, and happy.
Wonderful.
And I hope everybody that's watching is too.
Thank you. And this is what we need. We need that positive spiritual energy, that positive energy that can penetrate through all the negativity that is around us.
Well, I'm all about raising the vibration and sharing the positive. So I hope that's what we can do today.
We're already doing that. So thank you. So Debbie, tell us about you, about the work that you've been doing, about your cards, and how did you come into recognizing that this is maybe your calling?
I think that everybody needs to understand, first of all, that they are all psychic. We're born with that ability, that natural essence that comes from spirit. And this is why we'll see little babies that are just looking up at the ceiling and smiling and laughing, or little ones chatting away to themselves, or so we think. Because they're communicating with the sources, I always say. Yeah. So whatever your belief system is, Buddha, Allah, the universal light or whatever, we have that connection. And if we remember that, and we've forgotten it as adults, because around about 8 years of age, we tend to disconnect from it if we're not in an environment that is encouraging us.
That's right. It's supportive,
And supportive of us. So we tend to forget it. And then sometimes it comes back. But I always say to people, we all get those little whispers from spirit, or those little nudges that are, that sort of essence of you haven't heard from somebody in a while, and then all of a sudden then their name comes to your mind, or things about them, or you hear a song, or you go somewhere and it reminds you of them. And I always see when we get those little breadcrumbs that are given to us, because that's what they are, the little breadcrumbs, then follow through and check in with that person. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to talk them off the edge of a cliff or something like that. It just, maybe they just need to hear your voice, or maybe it's time to reconnect with them again. So this is, we have that, and those messages are sent all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. We get messages, you know, because we are in this realm. And so we get messages that we can understand during in this realm. So when somebody is, when we think of someone, you know, it means that there is a connection between, not necessarily on this plane, but there is a connection on the soul level. And many times it happens when I think of someone, whether it be a friend or client, I call them and say, wow, how did you know? How did you think? Or the other way around, you know? So I call it the kissing points of our synchronicities.
Like that, because it is. And these are the little, the connections, the coincidences or things that, this is where we need to be listening. Because people say, well, you know, you can do all this and all the rest of it. And I said, but it all started at a point where I had to learn and hone my gifts, just like an athlete would, or an actor would, or a doctor. They have to learn and get the skills behind them before they can actually go on and be that expert, or be that person. And it all starts at ground zero, as I always say, when we tap into and connect to listening. And everything comes from the heart.
That's true.
Everything comes from the heart. That's where it starts and ends, or should do.
Well, you know, the heart is a very interesting topic or place to be in. You know, it is very, it can consume, and you know, and it can also sometimes lead astray. You know, in Judaism, it says, you know, you can see with your eyes of the heart, but don't lead with the heart. Because the heart is like a tourist, you know.
It'll take you everywhere.
Take you everywhere. You don't know where you're going to come out from. You don't know, you know. But then you have the neshama, the soul, which sits in the pineal gland, right? And that leads. That gives us the direction. It's like the sail that gets the air.
Yeah.
You know, right? And then we have the how we are steering the boat. So Debbie, let's talk a little bit about you. Okay, where I mean, it's I'm interested
about the conversation that goes organically. And
it does. Let's talk about you. You have four oracle. Now, why don't you explain to whoever is watching about these the oracle decks and what they do, and what's the difference between this deck and that deck, and and how did you come about this?
All right, so first of all, most people know about tarot decks and oracle decks. And then some people say there's angel cards and things like that. Well, angel cards can be oracle or tarot. So the difference really between an oracle deck and a tarot deck, without going into all the fine definitive information, is that tarot is more structured. It has 24 arcana cards, which arcana means secret. And, you know, think of it like a deck of cards that we may play poker with or something like that. Mm-hmm. You have the kings, the queens, the numbers, and we have the wands, the swords, etc. Well, oracle cards are less structured. They can just have words on them or numbers on them or images. And depending upon the person that's created them, they will, some can be cats, some can be, you know, what are the different things, animals or flowers or, you know,
symbols,
whatever. So there are so many different types of oracle decks, which leads it open to being less structured and easier for someone wanting to get immediate answers to be able to use. So you don't have to go through the whole structured process. And a lot of us today want to have the answers right away. And so, you know, the oracle is basically what it means is a response or a message given. And that's what oracle means in its essence. So that's why they're called oracle cards. And each card can be standalone. So they're not structured anywhere. There's no rules of engagement using them.
Okay.
Although many people say to me, have I got to do it this way? Or have I got to do it that way? And I go,
the idea is to break out of the rules right now.
Exactly. That's where we are. Find your own way. Create your own way.
Exactly.
And, you know, in my decks, there is a guidebook. But when I teach people to use the my particular Oracle deck, what I try to get them to do is to leave the book in the box and tap into their intuition, because that's where all the answers are. So to answer, is one better than the other? Is an Oracle deck better than a tarot? No, it's just different.
It's just different, okay.
You just find, you know, there are so many beautiful Oracle decks out there and tarot decks, and you'll be drawn to the one which you love. And for anybody that has heard, you can't buy your own Oracle deck or you can't buy your first deck, somebody has to give it to you. Please let that go. It's just a myth.
So, okay? So you're saying that usually that it was accepted that an Oracle deck you need to be given and not buy?
Well, yes, some people have. I've been told, I can't buy, I would like this deck, but I've been told by whoever, it's been passed down through the well of information, that they have to be given their first deck. Now, I would be very disappointed. Imagine the factor of you've got your very first Oracle deck and you look at it and you go, I'm not into trains. Why would somebody buy me a train one? Or I'm not into to symbols. Yeah. So you're going to look at it and you'll feel disappointed. So why not get and receive the deck? You know, I said to somebody once, you know what? You can do it. Give the money to somebody to buy the deck for you and then get them to purchase it, but choose the one you want.
Well, you know,
so much myth and magic around decks that I love it, but I also try to get people to go think about it.
You know, I get you and totally right. But, and the thing is, when you want people to think about it, it's really what it is about, what it boils down to is really meaning, is how do we make meaning?
Exactly.
And for the question of the $64,000 question of what's the meaning of life?
Yeah.
What's the meaning of life is to make meaning.
Yeah.
Right. So in a sense is we are here to break out of the structures, to break out of the confinement in which we were born into, in which we were created. Not, I wouldn't say created into. Well, probably created into as well. Yeah.
Created into. Yeah.
And to break out of this. To break out of it, to find the meaning that makes meaning to our journey, to our so this is really falling in line.
I try to say to people that, you know, because some people come to me and say, "What's my purpose in life?" or "What's my soul journey?" And I said, you know, I truly believe it's to live in any given moment, be in that moment, in that intention, in that now, and experience it. So it might be full of car, but you've experienced it. And from that, you're going to take those lovely golden nuggets with you and move forward onto something else. And, you know, if we're looking for an ultimate carrot that's dangling in front of us, guiding us to something, then be guided, but enjoy the journey.
So Debbie,
the destination.
So Debbie, were you always like this with this understanding? I know that around your 20s, you started communicating you start communicating with spiritual world, with spirits, right?
Yeah.
If I put it this way. But were you always like that, or is this just happened?
I saw spirit my very first encounter, and I use the word encounter because it was exactly that with spirit, was when I was around about 4 years of age, and my parents were going through a divorce, and my twin brothers and I, we moved in to live with my grandparents. And of course, this is back in the early 1960s. Yes, a time before internet, a time when people read books and things like that. And my grandparents are very stoic. Everything was about, you know, children should be seen and not heard. And so to have, you know, three very small young children descend upon them when my mom was going through this was quite something for them.
Yeah.
And so, of course, it was one night when I was in bed and my mom and I shared a bed and my twin brother shared a bed. And I was in the dark and all of a sudden the room lit up and I thought it was maybe mom coming to bed or something like that. I, you know, didn't realize. And then to see these little ethereal beings, these angelic little golden lights coming to the, and landing on the end of my grandmother's bed. Cause it was a bed board in those days, you know, they had a headboard and a bed.
And you were sleeping in the same, on the same bed with her?
Yeah. Well, my mother and I would share a bed because
okay.
my grandparents parents didn't have lots of money, so we basically all bunked in together, you know. So as I call it, my grandmother's bed, because it was one of those atypical big feather kind of beds, as beds were in those days. And of course, mum was downstairs doing what mums do when small children aren't around, having some time off, maybe having a cup of tea or watching TV. So to see these lights, the room light up and the ceiling peel back, literally, these little, it was a little scary for me. That first encounter was not one of ease and grace. So I screamed, my mother came up, she said, "Oh, you're having a nightmare, just go back to sleep, you'll be fine."
When your mom came up, they're gone. No, but for you,
it was like they just disappeared.
It just disappeared for you. Okay.
I think they tried a couple of times in that format to come and visit me. And I think they realized that they were scaring me too much, because I didn't have people around me that explained all this, that the understanding of what spirit was and that kind of thing. It was a completely different world, a different era. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was in the UK. And I'm not saying that's a wrong thing there, but, you know, people just got down and knuckled down and did things. So it was after that that spirit started to come to me in what we would deem nowadays as imaginary friends. I'd have conversations with myself. And I think from my grandparents' point of view, this four-year-old child just playing with her dolls and making cups of tea and just chatting to her dolls, as they thought, was much better than having her screaming around and making lots of noise. So
yeah, that's the only way they could understand you. You could exist with them, yeah.
Yeah, so it was, you know, I would say profound things, and was, you know, deemed as a precocious child, as what we would deem today as a precocious child. But it was really in my 20s when I connected with other people that were like me. Mm-hmm. And I had gone and taken this course to actually learn how to read the tarot. I'd been doing it for many years, playing with a tarot deck, doing readings for people and things like that. But I thought, I can have a certificate that says I can do this properly. I would feel great. Well, it didn't quite turn out. I did get my certificate, but what I found from that, and this is why I always say to people, if you go on a workshop or you go on a course or you do something and you feel, oh my gosh, you know, it wasn't exactly, you know, as I had thought it would be, although I'd been guided to it, there was something there. And that was what happened out of this course, that I met other people of like mind that was working the same way I was working, i.e. I was not reading the cards verbatim. I was obviously getting the information through from spirit. Mm-hmm. And in those days, we set up a small group where we would meet once a week and we would have meditation.
So it'd be like an underground kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was fun because you were a kid. Hey, underground. I got to.
Exactly. I had a young son. So it gave me the escapism, I suppose, to meet clandestine meetings with a group. No, it wasn't quite that bad.
So let me take you back to, so you had to play in a realm that the adults understood, but how was it with, so you won't be really considered a loony or something like that?
Well, right? It came pretty close to that when I was in my teenage years.
And that's what I wanted to ask you. How was it with the friends or other people?
Well, I think there were people that just sort of accepted me, and, you know, I would play with the cards and things like that. And, you know, I wasn't a brainiac kid. I wasn't a nerdy kid. I was sort of like the atypical child kind of thing. You know, you hang out with your groups of friends and things like that. But it was one, you know, I didn't really openly talk about it. If I was, you know, somebody say, oh, get your cards out and do a reading or something like that, I would do that. And, you know, I wouldn't even consider the discussion that I would have. You know, I would just say, oh, this and that. And of course,
It was just a fact. I do this and people ask a question, you know, people would ask questions. Yeah. So would people start coming to you? Did people start coming to you for advice? And
not in the larger concept, because stepping back into my childhood, my mum moved around quite a bit. So I would only be at a school maybe for 6 months, a year top. So I would have different schools that I would be going to. So I think that's probably what maybe sort of play with my cards more, because it was like I really didn't have to worry whether I had friends or that kind of thing. And then, you know, some people would come and say, oh, you've got some cards, or what, you know, etc. So, but it was one day I was traveling home from school in my teenage years, and I was on the top of a double-decker bus in the UK, yeah. Coming home from school, and I leapt up and said, look, there's Jesus down there. And of course, you've got to understand it from adults' perspective. This young kid on a bus jumps up and starts talking about Jesus and shouting to everybody on the bus, look, do you see him?
Were you pointing outside to somebody outside?
Exactly. And there was nobody that anybody else could see. So it got back to my mom. And I was marched off to a psychiatrist. And Spirit basically said, you know, you're just going to have to take it, kid, and just say you made it all up. I'm like,
And did you grow up religious? I mean, were you going to church and everything?
My mom, you know, going back to the 1960s, being a divorcee was not quite the same as it is in today's society. So she was frowned upon. She was a fallen woman. But we always went to church on Sundays. And as kids, we went to Sunday school and we did all the church teachings and things like that. But what I was finding growing up in that environment, sadly for me, was that everybody was very judgmental.
Still are many are still. That's why we are here today also.
Yeah, and I think this is partly as a teenager I started to we were very lucky. One of the places that we lived, there was a Billy Graham, the Big Tent, where they came, and I'd never seen this kind of thing, and I had to go. I was drawn to it, and although it wasn't something that I resonated with me, I think that was the beginning of opening of maybe you're going to go on this journey of seeing what religion is about. Maybe you're going to go on this journey and nothing's going to fit, but you're not going to be alone kind of thing. So, you know, I would try and speak to people about spirit and, you know, what I saw. And some people, especially in religious environments, were not always open to it. You know, again, I was a precocious teenager that was, you know, obviously looking for something. So they didn't quite know how to handle it. So I never really felt like I fitted in. And I think that's something with a lot of people when they're going from a transition from mainstream religion into the spirituality, that especially at that time, there wasn't a lot. So when I had found this group in my 20s and we all could talk openly about things, we would do readings for each other, we would do psychometry, we would do meditations and things like that, it really felt, you know, I always say, like being at
you
home.
Felt, you know, it felt belong. And this is another part of our journey, right?
Yes.
Is the meaning, and it's to feel belonged, to feel part of, to be seen. And it's, I mean, at least, you know, at least you had that. I mean, I remember growing up in Israel when I was a kid, I would talk to different entities, and then eventually it just shut off because of the way that I grew up. My dad was the chief of police, and, you know, there's the whole.
So it
shut off, but you had, in Israel, I mean, even less more than in England.
Yes.
In Israel, it was even less acceptable, because in Israel, things like this don't happen, so to speak. Right? And so at least you had a kind of a friend support, you've been seen, you had. So then you continued from there, and did this just then became like a, and then at that age, how did your parents react then? Once you start, people start seeing you as.
My mom at that time was really more concerned about my psychological format. And of course, so I took it on the chin, excuse me, and just said I'd made it all up. So of course, then I became an attention seeking adult. I think at that point, that was when I drew back a little bit and I was trying to discover a way that I could fit in. Like, what have I got to do to be normal? You know, what have I got to do that I'm not going to be frowned upon? So, you know, all through my life, Spirit has been there for me on a personal level. And I am so blessed, because there's been some very dark times and there's been some very light times. But knowing that they're always there has carried me along this journey. And, you know, I when I was working in corporate world, you know, somebody found out. I would never openly describe, you know, because it would, when you go into a working environment, then of course you're deemed as a whatever the pillar of your title is for your job. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to rock the boat, as they said. You know, I'm going, it hasn't turned out too well for me in times gone past, so let's just keep it buttoned, kind of thing. But people did know that I did readings outside of work, and you know, some would come to me, and then in one case I almost lost a job because somebody had reported me that I was doing readings. And you know,
that's the fear. That's the fear. Yeah. That's what we're experiencing today, especially so in this coronic time, as
yes.
I call it.
Yes, the people telling
people are
on you
fearful, you know, yeah. and when people are in fear, they want to drag you into that fearful energy.
Exactly.
And they don't even know that necessarily.
Yeah.
They're just acting out of that.
Yeah, and this is it. You know, it's like living in England where I grew up. There were all Caucasians, and then other countries started to emerge there. And some people would look at them and make comments. And I was always curious. I would be the one that would go, "So where are you from? What's it like where you came from? Why would you choose rainy old England?" You know, so. For me, I've always seen anybody or any situation as an opportunity to learn from it.
Oh, wonderful.
And
yeah.
I think if we all took off our sort of berating and judgmental cap just for a moment or three and just looked beyond it, you know, I think this came very much home to me because my son, as he was growing up, had dyslexia, which in those days was not diagnosed as dyslexia. So he was always struggling at school and things like that. But I noticed he was always standing up for the kid that was the one that everybody else picked on.
Yeah,
so he
yeah.
would get into trouble quite a bit. And then I was realizing, he said, "Well, people don't like that girl or that boy because they're different." And I felt so proud because I'm thinking, I've taught my son to...
You did a good job.
This is about people.
Yes.
You know, and if somebody does something mean to you, yes, you're definitely going to respond.
As we know, it's easier said than done. Oh, let's get out of our skin for a few seconds. So that's why we use tools. We use things that can help us, that are here, that can help us transcend or help us see things in a different way. So let's use your cards. Let's show your cards.
Yeah.
Let's show the cards. Show your decks.
This is the first energy oracle deck. This is my first one, and it's very simple to use. And you can apply this to any oracle deck. So don't feel that you have to go out and buy mine or this is the only deck. The three easy solutions I'm going to offer you can work with any kind of oracle deck. Okay. So the very important thing is, like anything, you know, everything is about intention.
Yes.
And initially we need to step into the intention of what do I want answered from doing this reading for myself? What do I need? Is it an answer? Is it some direction? Is it some help, some guidance? So we've got to, I always like to say to people, you know, even in those moments in their life when things are getting frantic. I sometimes do it myself if I'm out and things are getting really sort of like sticky around me. I just stop, close my eyes, obviously in a safe environment, and take a nice gentle breath in, focusing on me inside of myself, and exhaling the breath, letting away all the anxieties or pains or angers or frustrations. And then I usually do this for three times to get myself centered. And that's what I suggest to people when they're thinking about what are they looking for? What are they wanting from doing this reading for themselves? So that's the first very easy thing to do. Then, of course, you pick up the deck. Your deck. And there are, as I said earlier, there are no set rules of engagement. You can shuffle it, do it whatever way. Some people say, should I tap my deck? If that's what you want to do, great. Should I touch or kiss every card? If that's what you want to do, fantastic. You know,
meaning, right?
It's It's all, I think the myth busting here is what I'm going to probably put some people outside of their comfort zone, and I don't mean to, but the whole thing about this is your intention. I want an answer, and I want an answer using this particular deck. So you're going to shuffle them, and you can shuffle them like you do in poker. If you can't do it that way, you could spread them out on a table and just mix the cards up in that way. Again, there is no way to do it. You can put it in three or four piles. It really doesn't matter. Okay. I always say, try a different technique every single time.
Now, you said that you could use this with any Oracle deck. Is that an additive to an Oracle deck, or is that a standalone?
You can do it. What I'm suggesting here, and again, you don't have to do it this way. I'm just saying this is the way I teach people to do it. That they sit for a moment, think about what am I on? It's a bit like if we're going to plan going on a vacation. Mm-hmm. We don't just go, okay, I'm going on vacation, jump in the car and we're out of here. Well, most of us don't. We stop and we work out, okay, where do I want to go? What do I want to do? How am I going to get there? What do I need to take with me? So that's what you're doing with setting your intention before you start.
With everything.
The stress are bringing you into the centered concentration of this is the time for me to get answers. Mm-hmm. So we've stepped away from pinging, tinging phones and the distractions, the kids running around or whatever.
Yes.
And we just focus on that.
Yes.
And when we get our breath going in and out, and we're thinking about what we need the answer to, then we pick up the cards, we shuffle the cards. It becomes almost like a soothing way that we do things. And
wonderful.
When we get over what I call the franticness of I'm not doing it the right way. And I always say to people, whatever way you're doing it is the right way.
You.
So it's a bit myth busting here. So you're just shuffling the cards, thinking about what you want. Now I always say to people, if a card jumps out, flies out, or two or three, stop shuffling, because it's basically saying, pick me. These are the cards that you need to.
You know, this is like trying is kind of a negative word. But you know, I see signs that are coming to me and coming to us as I see this in this realm. So when I say something and then there is a ting or that there is a bark, you know, how many times I would work with somebody and I would have a download for somebody and it was 3 o'clock. I remember those things. It would be 3 o'clock in the morning sitting with this person. And there is a single dog bark.
Yeah.
For three times in the course of an hour after sentences that were happening, you know, out of nowhere, there is a dog bark, not my dog, but a dog bark somewhere else. And those are things that we get signs and confirmations in this realm that are coming from other realms to confirm what we are feeling psychically or what we're feeling internally.
Give you an example with you know connecting with the signs and symbols that we're given. I was driving last year to an event to do something, and I got held up in traffic. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, fine. I got plenty of time. I always like to get there extremely early. And while I was sitting in the car, I thought of a friend of mine who lives in Australia. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I haven't heard from her in a while. So I pull up in this traffic jam, and there in front of me is a vehicle with a little kangaroo on the back. There was my second sign. Uh-huh. So I thought,
Did you call the person?
Yeah. And then the third one, while I was sitting there, a car pulled up to the side of me, which was exactly, it had this exhaust that goes over the top of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. In Australia, they go through a lot of water. I think you don't see them very often here in Canada.
That's right.
So I'm like, okay, you're going to get a call from me. And I messaged her on Facebook because I hadn't heard from her in a while. And I said, you know, just checking in, told her what happened. She said, oh, I'm so glad you checked in. I haven't heard from you for a while. So it wasn't a major thing. But because I listened, I always think, follow the breadcrumbs.
That's true.
And we get this all the time. And, you know, I say to people, usually spirit send things in threes. Mm-hmm. They do for me anyway. Sometimes if I get it after the first one, because I had got it after the first one, the fact I thought of her name, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give her a call. But then it was obviously like the second and third thing that I was shown to remind me not to forget kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, and I think this is where we tend to dismiss that.
Yeah.
Some people say, you know, when a family member or somebody that they've loved has passed on into the spirit, and they're saying, you know, I saw a butterfly, or all of a sudden this little bird came up and sat on my window ledge. Do you think?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And I said, but I always say to people, when you get that happen, stop. And what is the first person you think of? Because that's the person sending you the message.
There you go.
And the more we can do that, the more we can connect with it. And especially at the moment where things seem so fractured or discombobulated, which is I don't even think the word exists. I think it's a British word.
I heard that word. It is.
We get sort of forced into other things. So I always say we've been given an opportunity now to connect. Mm. And, you know, whether it's your higher self, your intuition, your gut feeling, or whatever it is, it's there, and work with it, you know. And the cards can give you an answer if you're prepared to put in the time. And, I say to people, you don't need to come to me for every little thing. Truly, you don't. And I'm not trying to do myself out of business or anything here, but this is why the cards can work. So when I'm shuffling the cards, that is me connecting with it. I'm thinking about what I want to do. I'm shuffling the cards. So if one flies out, that's the one I'm going to have. And then if one doesn't, because people say, well, what if it doesn't fly out? I said, well, then decide. But
the big
usually,
one.
So here's what I have here. There's one card sticking out on its own.
Yes.
All right. There's another card here that's sort of sticking out. So then I would pull those out. They would be the cards that I would choose. And you can choose as many or as little. I have, with my deck, I have a very large 11-card spread that you can do. But you could pull out something which just says one card or two cards or that kind
of thing. So you have four different decks. And you said you have a deck for children. What is the idea behind having a deck specifically for children? Is it about the illustrations or what?
Well, this is the children's deck.
I will put a picture of that later on.
And it came about, like, to start off with, I didn't ever imagine or have a comprehension in my spectrum of doing things that I was going to create an oracle deck, period.
Mm-hmm.
So once I'd created it and people were buying it and they loved it, you know, people were writing to me and saying, there's no children's decks out, not ones that can resonate with day-to-day things. And
for
I mean
children.
Day-to-day things like, you know, doing chores or people bullying or technology and things like that.
But is it only children? I mean, you have bullying, for example, not only with children, you know.
Exactly.
So you could use the cards also for...
inner child work.
Exactly.
Well, this came around because I was a friend locally here where I live said to me, I want to buy your deck. So, of course, the children's deck. And, of course, I immediately said, so is it for no, it's for me. I'm using it to do some inner child work. She said, I've seen you using the deck for children on how to do reading. She said, and I think it's perfect. And even though the definitions are very childlike, they're aiming at 8-year-olds upwards. And some people use it with younger children as well. Each of the cards has an affirmation or a what I call a positive response at the end. And those people that have used it for their children or, you know, would come to me and say, I love that because it says, I'm a vibrational earth child and whatever the affirmation is. So it's almost like it belongs to them. Hmm. And so, yeah. Again, when I created them, I really had no concept of them being used for anything other than children. So that just goes to show that spirit have the bigger picture going on all the time. So now when I do my weekly readings on YouTube, I use this deck for the adult perspective, and then I'll pull a card from this deck.
You said something very
perspective.
You said something very interesting, which is part of everything, perspective, and it's perception, you know.
Yes.
And the part of the perception is that our thoughts and our emotions are really part of the system that we came with. So that dictates our perception. So to work with a child, is the most fertile ground to work on perception because they have less, they come with less baggage, so to speak. Right, and then it's It's easier.
And they're
still connected
to the source. So
and they're closer to the source. That's right. They're closer to the source. So you have these decks, and okay. So go ahead. Maybe we'll let's see what we do with this deck.
Going back to using the deck, once you've got your card or cards, whatever's come up, mm-hmm. look at the imagery on it. Look at what is coming on off of that card. So this is one of the cards that I pulled out, as above, so below. So connect with that. What does that mean in connection with what you were asking for? Do the words resonate with you? Do the colors? You know, I always say to people, this is where we have to just tap into that, mm-hmm. and just our intuitive side. Does it give you the answer, or is it, if I was asking a question on this, and of course when I was shuffling the cards, I must think of a question, and I just thought, like, what's going on in our world? And that was the card that came up. So as above, so below. And you know, each of my decks does have a definition book, but this one, to me, with what's going on in the world at the moment, is we're being watched over. It's okay. There is no mistake. Yeah. Oh. Even though we may feel at this moment there's a mistake and what's going on and nobody's there and all that. So, you know, again, I got the card, and the second card I said that popped out was smell the roses. So I think, you know, we don't have to do a huge interpretation. No, we don't.
I'll tell you, go ahead.
This is where we, as our humanists, sometimes have to overinterpret. Oh, you know, I can be misanalysis paralysis. I can go into that mode with things. I can go down that rabbit hole.
I can
confuse myself. But as soon as I step back into my spiritual essence and just listen, that's when I get my greatest answers. That's when I get my greatest connections. And you know, I always say to people, because people say, well, it's easy for you, you know how to do this. So I said, so when you go to sleep, just before you go to sleep, whether you're a night worker or a day worker or whatever, ask a question of spirit. Ask a question. And then just allow yourself to drift off into your sleep state.
Wow.
After you've done your gratitude.
Yeah.
I always say to people, don't forget, when you go to sleep at night, whether you call it prayers or whatever it is, do your gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, all the things you're thankful for. And then when you wake up in the morning, you know, if it seemed like a Salvador Dali painting, because that's where people come to me and say, well, it was like a Salvador Dali painting. There was a tiger over here and a ballerina over here and a clock. And I said, well, what does a clock mean to you? Is it about time restrictions? You need to get on with something. You know, this is where we need to become our own interpreter of our, the imagery we see. You know, does the tiger mean we have to be maybe stalking something or standing our ground on something? You know, the ballerina, maybe the ballerina is telling us to walk tread carefully on tiptoes.
Yeah, you know.
We could go through so many different analogies with cards and imagery from dreams. We just have to start interpreting them so we can get our answers. And I always say to people, have a journal or a book or some pages or something by your bed, write it down. And even if it doesn't make sense in that moment, it will unravel itself.
So here, for example, these cards that you just pulled now are, as I see that, as I experienced in the past 2 weeks, are really a kind of a culmination of things that happened and things that were leading to the fact that we are always being watched. We are actually being guided, and we've been offered the help and the guidance for so long, and as human race, we've been kind of ignoring it because of our own stuckness, because of our own,
we've been busy,
you know, busy,
achieving what we think is needed,
and what we think is real, and this is the thing, the intention that we put into things. And when we are in a certain mode, sometimes we don't even pay attention that we are seeking that which is really not crucial, that which is really not not important. So how many cards do you pull? So you pull...
Well, I just pulled two. Well, I was shuffling and I thought, well, I'll just have one card come out. Well, two jumped out.
I see.
But again, you can pull as many or as little as you want. Some people like to just leave the deck sitting there and then pull one off the top and then maybe add to it to create a story, as I call it.
Yeah, so well, this is all the story.
Maybe you ask an initial question and now it's like how to get there. You know, like the yellow brick road, how do I get there? You're going to meet all these different people on the way. You're going to get all these cards on the way that are going to help you to unravel that. But, you know, just having those two cards, I didn't need to go any further. That was, to me, gave me the answer onto the very quick question I
asked. Do you pull cards for yourself every day or every so often? Or
I pull an affirmation card for myself every day.
And you pull it from your own deck?
Yes, I do.
Hey, I don't know, you know.
I've got two affirmation decks. The I Am Vibrational, which was, I wanted people to step into the I Am consciousness. We've been too far. I sometimes feel that we've stepped aside from who we are and got caught up in everything else, that we've forgotten our individual journey. So this was the first deck was really to get us to reconnect with that and experience how that feels to say I am, rather than we are or we should, or, you know, we always talk in the
thing. I know. You know, but here's the thing. You know, there is a power and I am in that sometimes where I talk on the we rather than on the I.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why, because there are two things. First of all, the we is because when we think in the collective, right?
Yes.
There is more power to it. There is more power and we are connecting that way, and then we connect those almost like the neurons in our brain, but the neurons in our collectiveness, and then we get connected, right? The other part of why I don't use much of the I is because I always say beware of the I, it'll trick you. You know, and it's because of that. It's because exactly of the place where we're in now. You know, because of before the coronic time, do you think people were coming to? I mean, yeah, people were coming together, but everybody was practicing isolation.
Yeah,
I'm in my iPhone, I'm in my iPad, I'm in my here. Everything is the I, the egoic I, the egoic I.
Last year, every year I get invited to send something to a magazine that does the predictions in for the new year. Mm-hmm. And I sit mid-August. I think it was mid-August or early August, because obviously they're getting ready for the December issue. And I let my team give me some information, if you like. And the one thing that came through, that this is the year of balance. Now, this was back in August of last year. Mm. And they were reminding us that it is a year of balance. And I'll just read you the very beginning of it. I won't bore you. If anybody wants to listen to it, they just need to go to my website. But with the concept of I am, it said, this is a statement, this is what I heard. I am at the beginning. I am at the end. I am the journey that is universal. I am full of gratitude and blessings. I am life.
Mm.
And
wow.
When we look at that, I usually have my channeled messages in automatic writing. So I then put it onto a video, which I created. But if you look, and I can read it through now, that this is all about the balance, bringing everything into balance this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that are being clouded, the no separation. And if you take some time and just listen to it, it's almost like, well, they did know. But I mean,
yes.
It's trying to give us the map so that we didn't get lost along the way.
Exactly. You know, and now especially, it's like all the words are colliding. Colliding, but all the words are coming to almost like a bottleneck.
Yes.
You know, everything is coming to and it's like the milk that overflows the when you put it on the stove. On the stovetop, right? And it heats up and it overflows. And it's really cleansing. And before there is a balance, or, you know, and people think about balance as 50-50. It's not necessarily 50-50 all the time. But before there is balance, there has to be some cleansing. We have to cleanse what is not serving. And, you know, I've been talking about this year and all the time about what doesn't serve me or us as individuals. But as it is above, so it is below. What doesn't serve us as a collective? What doesn't serve us as a collective, as a group of people? And really, this is coming now into really a grotesque. This is kind of a grotesque experience, really, everything comes out, all the ugliness, you know, and people really don't have, many people don't have the tools to deal with it. So you see people that are, that you wouldn't expect them to behave in a certain way.
It's all bubbling up. Out in some people, but I've been trying to, in my world, in my environment, whatever belief system I have, the fors, the against, the ins, the outs, the everything that's spiraling around as in my humanness, I try to remind people, be kind.
Yes.
You don't know what is going on with that person in their world, even if you happen to know them as a friend.
That's right.
It may be their breaking point. It may be their, I can't deal with this anymore. When people are forced into isolation, it doesn't always bring out the best in some folks. And we don't know, you know, we assume, I'm very blessed. I have, you know, my husband and I, we have a loving relationship. We are used to spending time together. So it's not anything out of the norm. But even sometimes with us, we have to step away and be on our own because it can sometimes become overwhelming for us.
That's true. And so for you personally, how is this coronic time?
Well, it's quite ironic, and I use the word ironic because spirit don't make mistakes. Usually, my husband, who's a past life regressionist, Chris,
interesting.
Yes, well, you should have him to come on.
Oh, this is interesting, Michael Newton and all.
Yes.
Oh man, I've been down there. This is amazing. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead. We'll talk about this later.
he and I usually go on tour, so I do my thing, he does his thing, and we go to different venues across Canada, and we choose a route and then organize all the venues and so forth.
Yeah.
And we had decided, I think it was September, October time, that we were not going to do a tour this year.
Huh. Interesting.
We were not going to tour this year. We were going to take a year off. We were going to slow down a little bit.
And that was way before all this was...
It was around about September time. September. So before any of this came down the tubes, if you like.
Yeah.
So as I say, there are no coincidences in life.
No.
Everything happens. Everything is divine moment.
Mm-hmm.
Even those moments when we think they're not really divine, they are. And that's when we have the opportunities to grow and to learn. And Spirit had been for many years saying to me, you know, you need to get your card reader course online. I'm like, oh, no, but I like to teach it in person, you know. I'm very much a human. How can I do this online? So it's made, it's made me rethink how I'm going to do things. And that's okay. And in my world, my husband and I were actually in Mazatlan in Mexico when all this happened, and we were basically told to come home to Canada. So we did. And so we were quarantined for 14 days. And during that 14 days, I would do a daily post on Facebook to connect with people.
Mm.
And that's now just turned into a once a week on a Monday, where I invite people to come on and share the raise the vibration and share the positive.
Yeah,
it
wonderful.
It can be things that they can do to help themselves. It can be things that they can implement, like vitamins or how to boost their immune system. It can be sharing a story. So it's trying to give people those options, if you like, and the ability to know that they aren't alone.
Yes, and yes.
It was not my ideal way of expressing myself, but I've slotted into it and, you know, I'm having fun with it. And I think that's the most important, but I'm very blessed to
that's
be able
wonderful.
To do that. So that's what we need to stop and think about when others, You know, if somebody sneezes in the store, offer them a Kleenex. Don't go jumping back and whatever. You know, a friend of mine said that she was in the store and a gentleman was coughing and choking and everybody was just backing off and, you know, sort of
that's the fear. Yeah, that's the fear. The fear factor. Completely.
So we need to step away from the fear. And if you have a weak immune system, yes, if you have any of those concerns, then step away. But don't be unkind.
That's true. You know, there is so many, you know, there's so many incidents of how people are really just, you know, that are really just unkind for.
All forms of humanness is coming out.
Exactly.
And sometimes I shake my head and cry. And sometimes I throw my hands in the air and rejoice and do my happy dance because there are a lot of people out there doing a great deal of good in the community where I am. And I think there was communities across Canada that May the 27th, which is long past now, it was about raising the vibration and getting food.
I remember that event.
And it was just so amazing the way that people can come together in such a positive way, which restores my faith in humankind. So I think these are things we can do, you know, when we see that, you know, if somebody's struggling or we notice that somebody's lawn is overgrown, instead of going, oh, well, they should be out and mowing it, maybe think, I could go over there and I could mow it and help them out. You know, maybe they can't get out. Maybe they're frightened to come out or maybe they're sick. So we've got to stop judging people and we've got to stop judging ourselves as well.
Well, it starts first with us, no?
Absolutely.
Starts first with us.
Just, you know, when I get into what I call I'm going to lose the plot mode, I just stop, take a breath, center myself, and then readdress it. One here, and this is okay. And again, it's ironic. There's quite a few cards on the floor here. So this is card number 20. I am sacred because my soul vibration is filled with optimism.
With optimism.
Yes.
So wonderful.
When we look at the where the I am, this is our transition, our example to those around us. My vibration is doing this. My vibration is happy. My vibration, I am happy. I am. So it's not done in the way that we always think of I am.
It's the my. Gotcha.
So it's done in a way that we realize that when we say it in the resonance of the sacredness or the vibration of it, that it's a positive affirmation. Mm-hmm. Maybe we needed to be reminded of that. Maybe I needed to be reminded. Maybe those that pulled the card have it and they can just show it to others.
and I see that. So obviously I had to see that as well, you know. So
please don't take this the wrong way, but when we're a lot of women today, especially, we're trying to be wearing all these different hats. And the I part, the me part, gets pushed right to the back of the lineup. Whereas I say to people, if you're not sustaining yourself and you're feeding and nourishing yourself with what you need, not only what we intake here, but what we're hearing, what we're feeling, then we can't help anybody else. Mm. We can't assist because we are depleted. And also the reminder that this is your journey. This is my journey. Each of us have an individual journey that we've chosen, we've decided upon, we've created, and now we need to walk that walk. And if we're being pulled off in this direction and pulled off in that direction, and we're not achieving that, you know, would we come back and do it again in another new incarnation? I don't know.
That's why we're here again after all, right?
Yeah.
You know, there is a reason we are here. You know, with your husband, this is a whole different conversation, but we are here. We are here after all again. And I've done alone and guided past life regressions. And it's not what I was, but what did I get from there? Because obviously I'm here
again.
That's
it. Is there something that you've brought forward that's blocking you in this particular lifetime, whether it's a fear or phobia, or something that you haven't let go of. You know, sometimes Chris explains that there can be triggers that come up that cause us to be this way or that way, or something happened, because it can be through an accident or something has happened in our life that it's a trauma or a trigger that comes up that then we need to go, okay, this is not really to do with this lifetime. The trigger from a past lifetime that we've now just opened up that little hornet's nest, and now we're not able to deal with it because we don't understand where it's come from. You know, sometimes that happens as well. So that's what he...
But that's a whole different... and that, his name is Chris, right?
Chris, yes. I'll send you his information.
Okay, we'll have a conference. Debbie, what is the... We're up with time. What is... Give everybody who is listening what comes to you now, a message that comes to you now that we can take with us.
Find the balance. Don't be judgmental. And every day in every way, raise the vibration in positivity. Even if it's just for yourself, that's all that we need to be.
Amen.
Each year on our journey, and we are the best we can be in any given moment.
Amen, amen. You know, Debbie Anderson, thank you so much. And for you who are with us here, thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time and the courage to be here and to listen and to be all that you can be for you and for the world. Thank you, Debbie, for being here. And
thank you too. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Listening to Abracadabra, create what you speak with Elon Azulay, only on LA.